Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban.
Today, we are talking about the voice of the Mexican cannabis industry, and we are joined by president of GPIC, Eric Ponce. Eric, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited to be on this call.
And I want to start with this because we have talked a number of times with both our Hoban Law Group international attorney, Luis Armendariz, and others down in Mexico about why the country is so well positioned to be a player in the cannabis industry. But I want to put it to you, Eric, why Mexico?
Well, as you guys are quite aware, Mexico, other than the weather and the geographical position, one of the main interesting points is Mexico has a lot of trade deals with a lot of countries, not just the new USMCA that we just ratified, but also we have trade deals with Europe and we have trade deals with the rest of Latin America. So we have that well positioned, of course. Of course, we have the regional weather-wise advantages. We also have, of course, cheap labor that we often talk about that. But of course, also being so close to you guys, the largest consumer in the world, that also gives us quite an advantage in terms of manufacturing. Specifically, I do believe that Mexico is going to be a power player in terms of growing and manufacture in terms of cannabis products.
Well, we absolutely believe that too. And it's been so fascinating to watch the development of these laws. And I know, Bob, you were in Mexico, I believe it was February of this year, to meet with some members of Congress. And maybe you want to speak to that a little bit. But Eric, give us a little bit of background on GPIC. How did it start and where is it at today?
Of course. We started last year, 2019. Basically, the main reason is that we several companies started figuring out that the Mexican landscape wasn't really moving forward at all in terms of the decision makers, the senators, the Congress people. They were all over the place. There wasn't a unified voice, so to speak. And a lot of companies, basically with their international background, international experience, were approaching these people, these congressmen, and saying, "Hey, this is the way we do it here in Canada. This is the way we do it here in California. This is the way we do it here in Oregon." So there was a lot of noise around that, good intention, of course, but there was a lot of noise. There was a lot of consensus about what should we do as a Mexican landscape. So the thing is, where the first five companies, including Canopy, among others, including also my company, ICANN, we started getting together to discuss what are the next steps, what should we do, how to best approach these decision makers that they don't understand about cannabis, and they don't have to understand about cannabis, but they do understand about laws and regulations. So we started like that, and we finally we just created this legal framework we call GPIC, GPIC, and basically that's how we formed. Like you said, we started with five companies, and now we're 20 companies strong. And other than companies, we also have very good alliances throughout the continent. We are connected with Canada. We're connected with the NCAA in the States. We're connected with Colombia. We're connected with Peru. We're connected to Ecuador. So basically, we're trying to set up a new way to start talking about cannabis, not just about Mexico, not just about our country, but throughout the region.
No, and it's fantastic that you're doing that, and certainly it's needed. It's a great mission. That region is extraordinarily interesting for a number of reasons. We've talked a lot about how Latin America, the cannabis reform policies had begun under this sort of export-only model in recent years. And then now, as you point out, in Mexico, and we've seen it in Brazil, we see it in Argentina, we see it in Colombia, we see it in Ecuador, where domestic distribution of cannabis in some form, some CBD, some marijuana, some a little bit of everything, depending on the regulatory structure, is being allowed. Now, with the golden goose for that export only model was always the European Union. And the European Union, we've seen that sort of hit the brakes. We've seen the novel foods concept and that regulation get in the way of widespread distribution, which did exist for the first couple of years as these international shipments were occurring. But now we're looking at retracted, significantly curtailed distribution markets in Europe. So when you piece together Mexico and Brazil and Colombia and a couple of other places, you're talking about hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of millions of people with nationalized healthcare systems. How and that should put us in a place where that, in my mind, becomes the most interesting region in the world for consumers, because of the fact that you've got nationalized healthcare systems actively promoting and involved in that secondary regulation process. How important in your mind are these healthcare systems and their buy-in, and what have been some of the challenges you've seen in Mexico?
Extremely. I think you're talking about a very precise point. In my personal experience, because my company is focused on medical cannabis, one of the main things we're looking for is approaching this national health system, as you just said. And there is quite a big possibility that we can start with, for example, CBD-based products or CBD-based therapies or CBD-based inclinations towards bringing in new products or new health satisfaction to the people here. So for sure, as you said, Brazil, Mexico, and the rest of the countries, we have this national health system. We strongly believe there is a key point here, especially here in Mexico. I've been pushing forward for the last year or so, that we believe that Mexico can actually even be one of the first country to actually incorporate at least CBD into the national health system. That is kind of a dream of mine. I do believe it's possible, and I do believe we have a lot to teach to the world doing that.
And in doing so, the standardization of the product material, the standardization of the delivery systems and how it's treated as a healthcare material. Because, you know, here's the interesting thing. We've seen all this talk about medicinal cannabis. We saw medical marijuana laws open up in the U.S. What that meant in the U.S. really didn't have a lot to do with medicine. And I'm not saying even for a second that cannabis doesn't provide medicinal benefit, or that the studies don't support that. We know that it does. But what I'm saying, in the United States, there's no healthcare systems involved in using medicinal cannabis. This is a system that creates an exception to criminal behavior or criminal repercussions, and it ensures consistency for the purchasers of these products on a state-by-state level. How can the regulations and the standards, how can Mexico be a leader in that respect, with consideration of the fact that it is working with a healthcare system? Because that is not the case around the world. Even when you look at, frankly, other countries in Europe, which are far more advanced on the quote-unquote medicinal cannabis side of things, it's still done through a nuanced process that allows for standardization, but it hasn't really brought in the medical side, the physician side of the industry, to make sure that things are done consistently and that they're done based on, you know, universal standards.
For sure. I do believe that, again, with this national health system, unlike, like you just said, in the States, that is more like a free-for-all kind of market without proper regulation or clear guidelines of what actually, we don't even know what to call medical cannabis versus recreational or adult use in most states. So yeah, for sure, I do believe that as long as we do have certain quality controls and standardized process, which we already have, by the way. I know Mexico is, sometimes we look down to Mexico as a third world country with a lot of problems. For sure, we do have that. But we also have, we do have processes, we do have a health system. So I do believe that cannabis can be properly integrated into what we already have, into the process we already have, without obviously being too hard on the regulations, meaning that if we want to see a product, a medical cannabis product in the country, we don't have to wait 5 or 6 years to have clinical trials and the like. There is a proper ways to actually bringing into the country, obviously with quality controls, obviously with legal and regulation on the basis. However, with this one country, one health, well, one national health system, makes a lot of sense to actually even bringing new people, new investors, bringing these big companies that want to introduce new cannabis products or want to introduce new formulations or new presentations and the like. And I do believe that Mexico can be not only a testing ground, but also a way to follow how to properly introduce medical cannabis, for example.
Well, you know, what's so exciting is the work that you're doing, because we see this here in the States. We've seen it in a lot of places. The importance of bringing together a unified voice for an industry, especially when you are working with policymakers and when you are trying to shape the regulations that are ultimately going to guide this industry. And I know we are extremely excited to see what is happening in Mexico, because it is as a country with such a large population and all the steps that are being taken, it is extremely well positioned to really have a fruitful economic boost from cannabis, and even to some degree as a way to prevent some of the economic fallout that is expected to come as a result of COVID. But we know that there are some laws, there are some secondary laws and some other regulatory aspects and legal aspects that will be shaping out in Mexico this fall and early winter. Eric, will you just take us through some of those important dates to look out for and what you are expecting to see?
Of course, one of the things that that probably you guys already know, that the audience probably already know, but I want to make clear, is that in Mexico, when we talk about cannabis, we talk about something that is already legal. Since 2017, Mexico legalized cannabis for medical use, for research, and for industrial use. So we are already talking about a legal status in Mexico. The only thing missing on that side, on the medical cannabis side, is the regulations, as you well said, which brings me back to the first important date. We have a deadline, September 9th, which is basically a very weird deadline, because part of it was self-imposed by the health authorities and part was a imposition from the judiciary system, because basically we as citizens start suing the government, because that's basically the word for it. And we started suing the government because we didn't see any we saw them very passive in terms of bringing in the regulations on par onto standards. So we started suing the government, and basically the judicial system said, fine, the government has a deadline, September 9th, to create this, or rather to publish these secondary laws and regulations. That's one of the most things that we're excited about. We do believe that that's going to be a proper way to move forward. We do believe that the authorities are going to accomplish that publication before the deadline. And we are going to see, I do believe that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see a draft of the regulation being published, because by law here in Mexico, we have to publish the draft first. And I do believe that we're going to see that in the next couple of weeks. And the other important deadline is the general law for cannabis that also includes adult use, includes growing, includes import and export. That deadline is December 15th of this year as well.
One of the objectives of your organization is to ensure that there's standardized regulations when these markets develop. And you talked a lot about what's happening in Mexico, and those timelines are critically important. But how does one create international regulatory standards? How do you develop something that is a global marketplace? And it's happening already on a patchwork scale, but how do you develop something on a global marketplace when, of course, you got the UN Convention, which clearly treats cannabis products in a very narrow and strict enforcement-like fashion. We've got laws differing country by country by country. Even the industrial hemp laws differ country by country by country. I mean, think about this for a second. If you receive a permit to grow industrial hemp in Colombia or Ecuador, where they're allowed 1% THC, and that material is extracted, Can you import that into a country that has a 0.3% standard for THC like the United States? Or is that material derived from something that would be otherwise unlawful in the United States because it's above 0.3%? Does that hemp, that non-psychoactive cannabis grown in country X, is it allowed to be imported as a hemp derivative? Or is it treated as marijuana above 0.3%? That's more of a rhetorical question unless you've got some thoughts on it. But my point to you is there's this patchwork of laws all over the world. There's no uniform standards. Everything flies in the face of the UN treaties. How do you promote a developed, regulated market with a baseline?
I think, Joe, this is a very important question. I do believe that collaboration among the countries, among the region is extremely important. That's why I started saying that our organization, one of the main things, one of the main goals is this cooperation between other countries. And it's not just about cooperation. It's about sharing information. It's about sharing best practices, but also inviting their leaders, their thought leaders, their regulators, their decision makers into webinars, to panels, into very specific and very on point proposals in order to create this cooperation among the region. That's one of the main things we're doing as a group. The other thing is, and you mentioned it, Europe as well, for example, the GMP. People were rushing into bringing in GMP certifications, and it turns out the GMP in Europe is quite different than the GMP that people were thinking about that. So I do believe there is need to be more communication. Thought leaders in terms of the cannabis industry, we need to stay more connected. We need to stay more on point and saying this is not going to work unless we talk to each other and we share information and best practices. I strongly believe that with this way we are doing this connections, again, we are talking to Canada, we're talking to the States, we're talking to Peru, Ecuador, Jamaica, Chile, Argentina, all the region, I do believe that it serves a greater purpose. And that great purpose is, as you said, at least try to standardize, because cannabis is not just a plant that grows for just one country and does that country stays in there. We need international cooperation for sure.
From a philosophical perspective, does the cannabis industry need to adapt to existing regulations for other products, other materials, or does the government need to create new rules that are specific for the cannabis industry?
That's also a very good question. I personally believe that there is no need to overburden the regulatory system. I do believe that if something works, and if we see cannabis as any other source of wellness and of byproducts, and if we subject ourselves to the quality controls and the already processes already in place, I do believe we don't need extra or very specific just for cannabis regulations. There may be certain things that we need to clarify. For example, like you just said, what is the difference between hemp in Mexico and hemp in the States? If it's the 0.3% versus the 1%, yeah, it's going to be an issue for sure. But other than that, if we treat cannabis as we treat already other substances already in place around the world, I do believe that we already have strong processes that can already communicate through international treaties, through international agreements, and we can already start working with our international pals.
Eric, that was very well said, and certainly something that we talk about a lot is the needing to really create a new regulatory structure for the cannabis plant, whether it's the industrial hemp side of the plant or the marijuana side of the plant. But I want to ask you this, because we had on Memo Nieto last week, and he was so thrilled and so excited about the application of industrial hemp as a way to replace plastics. And given the population of Mexico and the average amount of plastic that a normal citizen uses, there is a great opportunity to reduce our plastic pollution. I just want to ask you, because you are so passionate and so well-spoken about this plant and about its many uses and its potential, is there something that really excites you for an industrial use or a medical use of cannabis in Mexico's culture, I guess?
It is. And again, my strong belief comes for the medical side, and I'm a medical cannabis user myself. I started in the whole business because I needed a medicine that didn't have all the nasty side effects that I was having with other products and other prescriptions. So I do have a personal stake in the medical side of the business. That being said, I'm also very passionate and also very excited about the industrial use for sure. I'm also all in for adult use, correct adult use for wellness and recreation for sure. But again, one of the things that really, really excites me is all the things we've been discovering, so to speak, in terms of medical use for cannabis. There's a lot of rumors, there's a lot of publications about, for example, cannabis helping, especially CBD, for COVID, for example. Not in terms of treating it, but at least in terms of helping recover through a very nasty COVID disease, for example. So that kind of things are really exciting because we are kind of rediscovering these very old and ancient plants, but we're rediscovering with modern science and with proper studies. So one of the things that I'm excited, but also I'm a little bit concerned about at the same time, is about education. It's about teaching the uses, the proper uses of this plant, either industrial use hemp or medical cannabis or adult use for recreation and wellness. But we need to teach the general population. We need to teach our authorities. We need to teach basically everyone, because we can talk about hemp and the great uses they have for industry and for plastic instead of using plastics and the like. But if people don't know about it, we're not going to do much about it. So I strongly believe that the boys can be raised through the medical side. It's easier, as you guys know, that it's easier to approach even these parts of the population that are not much in favor of the plant as it is, but at least are in favor of the medical side. So I do believe that this strong point on the medical side is the way to go to open the rest of the varieties or diversification of the plant, for sure.
Well, Eric, you are a wonderful spokesperson and educator, and we are so thrilled that you are taking these steps to create that unified voice. You can learn more about the work that you're doing at gpic.mx. And Eric, we will watch the developments closely this fall, and fingers crossed, and we'd love to have you on again soon to keep discussing.
And if there's anything we can ever do for you by way of being a resource, please reach out. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.